News Talk 1340, KROC AM. This is Rochester Today. I'm Tracy McCray along with Andy Brownell, Rochester School Superintendent. Mike Munoz is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How's it going today?
Hey, it's going great.
Andy, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. How about yourself?
Not bad. I just need it to be a little bit warmer, but we're going to get there.
Yeah, I could go for that, too.
How was that Monday no school call? How did that all go down?
Well, you know, we were watching the weather the entire day before in the evening, and you know, the biggest issue we were trying to figure out is when it's going to stop and how quickly they'd be able to get the roads cleared. And we didn't have enough information that evening to make a decision. So at 5 in the morning, I got my call, and we contemplated having a two-hour late start.
Right.
But didn't think we'd have the roads cleared by then, which worked out very well because I left the house a little right around 8 o'clock, and my street had not been plowed and got halfway down the road and got stuck, so I had to spend some time getting out. But, you know, once you made it to one of the main roads, it was pretty clear, but a lot of the side roads hadn't been touched yet. So, and around 8:30 would have been when we'd be picking up kids for a two-hour late start, so we just decided not to have school.
We figured you just used one, so you might as well just throw one out there because we only used one so far.
Yeah, well, no, that wasn't part of didn't influence the decision, but it's good that we have only used one prior to Monday. And it's kind of interesting that our Twitter account just blows up whenever there's a snowflake in the sky and the kids are they're really creative on trying to help me make that decision. But
I love it that the kids reach out to you on Twitter. That's something that I never had the opportunity to even look at my superintendent, really, when I was a kid. And you're in here, the students can reach out to you and kind of give you a needle.
He probably doesn't appreciate it all the time.
Well, they're just trying to give me some advice and help me out in that decision. So I appreciate their input.
Oh, boy.
This is not a democracy.
That's true. This is not how it works out.
I bet the athletic directors of the various schools were going, oh, man, because it looked like they could get the kids out of the fields early, the athletic fields.
Yeah.
Got to wait for that now again.
Yeah, they were very dry. Everything was
very
dry.
So that really
is
good.
The benefit of it now, I guess, is if you have to try to find some bright side to late March snow, that's one of them.
It'll green up nice.
That's
if you recall, I think it was 2 years ago that we had 12 inches in May.
What?
Had a snow day, and
this is normal.
I know. We don't need to talk about snow in May. And people, Rich Peterson was going back to that today, too. He's like, well, remember that May snow? No! Let's not remember the May snow.
I also remember that.
Forget about the May snow.
That it was really, really warm. That was the year the apples blossomed early. Mm. And then days after we had that snow, it was 86 degrees.
Yeah, it's crazy. That time of year. Let's see. The list that we start off with this time around has to do with what's coming up at the April school board meeting.
Yes, we have been spending the last several months looking at Policy 613, which is the graduation requirements. And one of the things that we've been trying to look at is find a way to provide a little more flexibility for our students to take the type of courses that they want to take. And also, you know, as we look into CTEC opening up here in the future and students having the flexibility to be able to meet the requirements to graduate, plus have some electives or flexibility to take some programs there. We've made a few adjustments to the requirements. We're not reducing the number of credits. We're just adding some additional looking at reducing. Right now they take one credit, a PE. We're looking at reducing that a half a credit, and then also we've required students to take a credit of reading, and we're thinking about eliminating that, and which would give the students a little more electives for credits and maybe have the flexibility to take some programs at CTEC and just give them flexibility in their scheduling. And you know, one of the things that it does is not all students have to take everything, and this gives them a little more flexibility to take courses that they're interested in.
And a lot of that, when you do get the CTEC, well, you already have some of the programs, they're done in usually 2-hour blocks, aren't they? So you're not running kids out there for one period.
Yeah, we're contemplating how we're going to do that. We may end up running shuttles every period,
sure.
and a lot just depends on when we get, next year we're just four of the programs will be up and running, and then the following year we'll have all seven of them running, and we may have to look at how that works out scheduling-wise for students and transporting them back and forth.
But I remember a million years ago when I was in school, and I took some vocational programs because I wanted to head in that direction, and it was difficult because they were all these two-hour block classes, and you had to be committed to doing that. You had to give something up on the other end.
Right.
And so that's why you're looking at changing some of the credits, because that might be an issue for some of these
students?
Well,
that could be. And also, so many of the 24 credits are, we tell them you have to take these, and they're more than what the state requires. So I want to make it perfectly clear, we're not looking to reduce the number of credits. It's just eliminating a couple of the required courses, which are not required by the state of Minnesota, which would allow students the flexibility to take courses that they're interested in.
Most of the comments have been addressed around some of the science programs, right? That you would have a new way to address one of the science requirements?
Well, the current policy, there's no change in the science requirements.
Okay.
There's just been a little misunderstanding on a small little word of either and or. the current policy says chemistry or physics, and there's been an understanding or misunderstanding out in the sites for a couple years that it was you had to take both.
So meaning the guidance counselors were saying it's
well,
and, it's not
I'm
or?
I'm not for sure where all the communication went. My understanding was prior to me coming to Rochester, the science teachers in the district got together and were working on this, and they presented to the board. And then there was no action taken by the board. There was no action by the board to change the policy, but there was an understanding by some thinking that just by presenting to the board these recommended changes, they went in place. And we discovered that this year that some of the practice out at the sites was making kids take both, and mm-hmm. the current policy says or. So right now, the policy that the board's been looking at does not there is no recommended changes. It reads or, and that's what we're recommending right now.
Excellent. It's 10:18. We'll take a quick break. Our guest is Rochester School Superintendent Mike Munoz. We'll look at that weather I forecast, see if there's any spring in our future when we come back. KROC AM. This is Rochester Today. Tracy McCray, Andy Brownell, and the Rochester School Superintendent Mike Munoz are here. Anything else about what's coming up at the meeting?
Well, I just want to, before we move on to a different topic, just say, even with these recommended changes, we're not saying kids can't take the additional PE and can't take the reading course. It's just we're not going to force them to do that. And, we were having a little discussion about the and or on sciences. Majority of the kids will take both chemistry and physics. We're just not saying every kid has to take both. So a lot depends on just what direction the students are
sure.
heading and what interest they have.
But I just congratulate the school district for being aggressive on the CTEC program. I think it's a welcome addition, bringing back some of this stuff.
I think once we get that program, all those programs up and running, it's going to take us a couple years to get at full capacity,
sure.
but I think it's really going to have a huge difference. But anyway, April 6th at 6 p.m. at the Edison Boardroom, the board is having a public meeting, and this is an opportunity for members of our community to come and hear about these changes and provide some input to the board on that. And they're wanting to get the feedback from the community before they make their final decision on this policy. So it's April 6th, 6 p.m. at the Edison Boardroom.
Very good. Let's move on to the referendum.
Yeah, we, it was a couple meetings ago, the results of the referendum were shared with the board, and I would say the results were favorable. And then at our recent study session, the board spent a little more time talking about the referendum and what needs to happen next, and they agreed that they want to continue looking into it. They have not made any decision whatsoever to go forward and put it on up to the voters in November, but they've decided to continue pursuing it. And what that means is we will we will go out and start providing just some information to various groups. And also later this spring, we will do a follow-up survey. And that will be a little shorter survey. It will probably won't – obviously, it was not going to have as many – this last survey was 401 people were called. This will be a much smaller survey and a more specific survey. And the board had a lot of conversation at the study session about – there's two questions that were asked through the first survey. One was to increase the operating levy. And then also what we've been calling a technology levy. And you know, what they're going to have to continue having conversation about is, do we want to – first, do we want to do referendum? And then do we want to do just one or the other, or do we want to put both questions on the ballot? So there's a lot of conversation and decisions that have to be made by the board. But they do have to come to a final decision in August if they want to go to the voters in November.
There are some really interesting results from that survey demographically within the community. And one of the more interesting ones that I found was that it seemed as if the longer a person lived in the community, the less likely they were to support the referendum. And then the other one was that those without children in the school system were very supportive of a referendum, and some of the movement was a little bit unexpected as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, I think it was, and that's what's really interesting about this survey. And, you know, it was kind of interesting that a couple of weeks ago there was a letter to the editor in the Post Bulletin questioning, you know, the survey, and obviously that person didn't really go to board docs and really see the type of survey it was done and the results. And it was a good representation of our community. And yes, this is done quite often, and and these are experts that do this. And, you know, it does tell us a lot of information about what age groups, male or female, people that vote regularly, don't vote regularly, who would support it. And it's good information for us because it lets us know which groups that we have to provide more information and educate them on. And then if, you know, the board does decide to go to the voters, then, you know, the community vote yes campaign, they can look at these results and they know what they have to do to target certain groups. So it's been really good information for us.
That's probably the key to it all, isn't it? The education component of it, because the numbers of support took this great leap upward as soon as you even provided the barest information about some of the impacts of funding decisions on the school district. All of a sudden, I supported them.
Yeah, it's about a 10% jump. Once what they did is they asked them right out, would you support one? And I think it was around low 50%. And then they gave them some more information and asked them the question again, and it jumped up to low 60%. So what that tells us is that we have to really get the information out. You know, we can't do a vote yes campaign, but we can educate the voters and provide information for them.
It's good to look at it that way, not just vote yes, but vote yes because.
Right. And beyond the referendum question, there was just some general questions about, you know, how would you give score the district? And over 60% of the 400 people said they would give the district either an A or a B. And so that tells us that we're doing some things well. There was a specific question about communication, and we did well in that area. And a question about how the district's handling their finances, and we did well in that area. So beyond the referendum questions, just some feedback about the district was also valuable to us.
It's 10:28 at KROC. We need to take a quick break for news and weather, and we'll return more with Superintendent Mike Munoz after news on KROC AM. News Talk 1340 KROC AM. This is Rochester Today. Tracy McCray, Andy Brownell, and Rochester School Superintendent Mike Munoz here. Anything else about the referendum that you wanted to get to?
No, I think just, you know, keep paying attention, and we'll get out and provide some information. And like I said, there'll be another survey coming up
Great. This
spring.
If people have any questions, they could give us a call right now, 282-1234. Otherwise, let's move on to the calendar for next year.
Yeah, we finally got that thing done. That was approved at a recent board meeting. And the good news is, you know, I think I've talked about this before, but the calendar is done through our meet and confer process, which is five members of the teachers' union and five district employees. And we started, we had a meeting actually just last week and said that we need to start working on the 16-17 calendar.
Oh,
so next month we'll start doing that. And what may be interesting, you know, there is some legislation up there now giving the boards the authority to decide when they want to have
right.
school. So, you know, if that would go through, we may be able to come out with a completely different looking calendar.
I'm laughing because I think that bill's been introduced every year for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
It just has to get traction, though.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and like this year is a great year for traction on it because Labor Day is so late this year.
Yeah.
It's great. It's example A of here's why we should have some local control. And it doesn't mean, this is the part I don't get, it doesn't mean that you always start before Labor Day
right.
or that you always start after Labor Day. But, it, I mean, that's a week's worth of play is a big deal when you're figuring out a school calendar, I would imagine.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Can we talk about the feedback that you got from that?
Yeah, we did. And, you know, we had the calendar out on our website for a couple of weeks and it gave people the opportunity to give us feedback. And probably the number one comment that we got was they wanted that additional day before winter break. So we did make that change to the calendar. So the calendar did take that. And then interesting, probably the second most common comment was, when are you going to go to 45-15? And even though that wasn't on the calendar, but we did receive a lot of feedback and there is a lot of support for that. And at a recent listening post that we had at Denny's, we probably had a 30 to 45 minute conversation on the 45-15. So there is some support out there. We know internally, a year ago, our teachers union did a survey amongst themselves, and there was huge support for a 45-15 calendar. And our principals association also has support for that. So
I just have to say, if the teachers are in favor of it, overall in favor, and if the principals are overall in favor, and you have such strong interest from the parents, what's happening? Where's the disconnect?
Well, you know, even though I'm not for sure what's the percentage of interest we have from parents.
I'm going to hold you down right now.
But, you know, I would encourage parents, if that's something they're truly interested in, that's something that you can let us know and let the school board know. Because eventually, if we want to look at expanding that, we're going to have to go to the board and get permission to do that. But, you know, I agree. I quite often get asked when we're going to do more of that. And right now we are looking at Gage and Riverside are having conversations with their parents about a 45-15 calendar, part of a new plan that they're working on. And they did survey their parents during the conferences. And there was good support there. But what we've asked them to do is to point blank ask all of their parents if they would, if their schools go to 45-15, would they attend it? So that'll give us some information. But, you know, others out there, especially at our secondary schools, you know, if we can get feedback from parents on that, both us and the board would be helpful. And, you know, because that's one of the things that comes up, well, you can't do it at the secondary level. And I think you can. And
Friedel, you certainly can, because that is a choice middle school, first of all. And a lot of Longfellow kids are at Friedel.
Right. Right.
A lot of them. But the high school, I mean, I guess the thing is, you went going district wide is a different question, but creating a path from K through 12 seems to make more sense to me.
Yeah, that's something that I would, before we would jump in district wide, that's something I would like to probably try to do is do a K-12 path to see how it works and get all the little kinks worked out of it before you would roll it out district wide.
I think it'll happen the day your youngest receives his diploma.
That's what I'm afraid of.
I hope a little sooner than that.
That is exactly what I'm afraid of. Okay, let's move on to SAC. Talk about SAC. And actually, these two conversations kind of tie in together.
Yeah, they really do. SAC is our school-age child care. And starting yesterday, you could start registering your child or children for summer SAC or for next school year. And SAC is exactly what is it. It's school-age child care for before and after school. And you know, we were talking about 45-15 calendars. And Longfellow, during their 15 days off, they have SAC. So
just like in the summer.
Yeah, just like the summer. So there is child care provided during the off times with the 45-15, and it works really well. And not only does it provide child care, but they do a lot of neat things and provide some great opportunities for students during that time. So it's a great opportunity for students to have childcare, but be engaged in a lot of different activities.
You can sign up for before school SAC. You can just do after only. You can do both if you want. It's a good option for those families that their work time and their school time don't jive.
Right.
So for those who have no involvement in this and no longer or don't have kids, how's the SAC program funded?
You have to pay for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
I would just imagine that as the kids get older, do you have as many kids in SAC? It seemed to me my daughter was just in SAC when she was in kindergarten, or first grade, I guess. So it just seems like it was younger kids to me, but that's who I was paying attention to.
No, I think, you know, for example, at Longfellow, with their 15 days off, you get the mm-hmm. whole, K through five. Mm-hmm. And I think it just depends at certain sites. Some sites, sure. it's more younger than older, but some sites, it's a really good mix.
And who is providing the child care at SAC?
Well, they are district employees, and it's run through our community ed program, and they hire all age groups. It's,
right.
it's adults, young adults mm-hmm. that provide services,
it's just not the teachers.
No, it's not the teachers. It's like I said, it is part of community ed.
My daughter applied for a summer job, by the way, so I'm putting that in right now.
For a SAC?
Yeah.
Well, all right, we'll see what we can do.
Tracy's lobbying for 4515. I might as well throw mine
in
there.
If we can't use our jobs to help our families, then what's... Okay, so, but how many... what percentage of the school population uses SAC?
Yeah, I don't have with me, but it is... I do know we could probably... It's full all the time.
Yeah, it is full.
It's not that we don't have enough students, and actually we could probably look at providing it at other sites as well, because it's not at every site.
Gotcha.
I suspect that they have more fun than the kids who head home, just because of the organized activities.
Yeah, especially during the summer and like intercession mm-hmm. time. It's just not – they take trips. They go
they go
places, and not only here just in Rochester. I think they've gone up to the cities to the museum and science museum, and – so it's not just, like I said, it's not just daycare. It's daycare plus they do a lot of great activities.
And I should say they don't do a ton of that either, though, because it is something that parents are paying for.
Right.
So it's when I sit next to the baseball moms in the summertime and they'll say, oh, the SAC kids went and did this. You know, it was their fun day today. They got to do something additional. Otherwise, they kind of have this routine that they do, and then they get to go off on a field trip to wherever it ends up being.
Right.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll talk about the weather once again. And when we come back, we'll continue with the list. We have to talk about the planetarium and the curriculum, too, coming up KROC AM. For Farm Bureau Financial Services with insurance, enough is enough until it isn't. Ask a Farm Bureau agent how a super check can help you get the coverage that you need. Learn more at farmbureausupercheck.com. Cloudy today, 39. Partly cloudy tonight, 26. Tomorrow, again, cloudy and 36. Some sunshine on Friday and Saturday. Highs on Friday around 33. Saturday, 40 degrees. Sunday, 50 degrees with a chance of scattered rain showers and clouds. On Monday, some sunshine and 54. Now that's some spring break kind of weather.
I don't want to jinx it, but I heard
jinx it.
60s by the middle of next week.
That's what happens on spring break. We always get great weather.
Is that so? Yeah. Hey, before we jump into the planetarium, I was going to ask Mike, this month is kind of the first month you're trying out the new school board arrangement, right, where you do the study session?
Yes, yes.
And then next week you actually do action items,
right.
Although you have the option of doing that on the study session
if we need to, yeah.
Do you think, I know you've only done the study session part of it now, but do you think it helps to have that kind of set aside time to just
hash
things out?
Yeah, I really think it does. It really, you know, during the study session, it gives us time to really dig deep into certain topics and have some really good conversation. And I think once everybody gets accustomed to it, it's going to go even smoother than it did. But, you know, our first one went really well, and it just allows us to really spend some time digging deep into a particular topic and not have to do that at the business meeting.
So potentially you could have a much shorter meeting on Tuesday.
Well, we hope so, but sometimes, you know, we try to keep the, you know, there's certain things, you know, like that come up that you have to get on the agenda but the hope is down the road is that your business meetings will be much shorter because you can have your lengthy conversations at your study sessions.
the planetarium is going to be open to the public coming up next month.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know this, but Friday, April 24th, is the 25th anniversary of the launch of the Hubble Space Telescope. And NASA is going to be doing a live streaming from the National Air and Space Museum from 7 to 8 p.m. So what we are doing is we're having the planetarium at Mayo. Some people probably don't even know we have one there. That's kind of a hidden treasure.
So awesome.
But from 6:30 to 8:30, and there's no charge, people can come and see the planetarium. And we're going to be part of that live stream, so
cool.
They'll be able to be part of that. And then he has some things planned before and after that. So it's April 24th from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Mayo High School Planetarium.
Excellent. It's a good spot, a good field trip. The kids always love it when they get to do the field trip to the Mayo Planetarium.
We even did that when I was a kid.
Yeah. Well, and plus, then they get to go into the high school.
And we used to just relish every year when we were in elementary school. We'd ride the bus from the John Marshall section of town over to Mayo High School. And we thought we were so funny because we'd all look at the high school kids and go, oh, do they fit so many squares in a round school?
Clever.
That's so I haven't heard that one.
It's embarrassing now that you think about it. Like, yeah, it was a pretty boring town.
It was unfortunate because one of those children would end up missing, snatched by the Mayo upperclassmen who would take care of him.
Stuffed in a locker.
Teach him a lesson. All right, let's talk about the curriculum meeting that's coming up.
Yeah, and it's out there a little ways, but May 4th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Edison Boardroom, people can come and hear about our language arts curriculum and provide input. And this is something that our C&I department has been doing regularly each, you know, different months. It's been a different content area.
Hold on. You said C&I.
C&I, curriculum and instruction. Sorry.
But I heard C&I, and I was like, C&I.
No, C&I.
Curriculum and
instruction department. Yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Sorry.
That's all right. I just thought, what would C&I stand for? Understood. So you'll just be going over the language and arts different options that students have?
Well, I'm just going over the type of curriculum that we teach at the various levels, and it's just an opportunity for community and parents to learn about what we're teaching their students.
Very good. Stuff that you don't care about anymore, Andy.
I know.
You used to have a dog in this fight, and now those days are over. You got to worry about paying for college now.
Yeah.
is there anything else coming up? Well, we've got
spring
too
break.
Early to talk about. Well, yeah, spring break. That's true. It starts this Friday.
Yeah, spring break's just around the corner here.
So what beach are you going to be parked on for the next 7 days?
I wish. I wish. I'll just go for a week of no snow and semi-warm weather and be happy.
It was kind of funny because I had some relatives here this past weekend, and they were saying, which of course, you know, South Dakota, where there's no spring break, you get an extra day for Easter vacation. They turn that into a 3-day weekend. So
is
they
that
were
right?
Saying,
they don't take a week off?
No, not
at
really.
The end of the
it depends on how they're doing calendar-wise. If they've used enough snow days, maybe you don't even get that day.
Do they get off in May then?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
About May 20th. They're down May 20th. When I filled out my survey for our district calendar questionnaire, I was like, can we start in the middle of August so we can be done before Memorial Day? But that's the South Dakota kid in me coming out.
If the kids got off by May 20th, they'd be bored by the end of June.
Oh, they're put to work. We're very busy out there.
Oh, South Dakota. That's right. Pick up rocks.
That's exactly what we'd be doing. Actually, you do that in March. That's what we would be doing over our spring break if we had one. It would be picking up rocks. The question was, why do you also take Friday off? They were very surprised that there's one whole week plus Friday. And I said, well, I'm not sure. I know who to ask, but I'm sure it has to do something with travel days and everybody takes their kids out that day.
I know the answer. It's the end of the quarter.
Yeah, it's the end of the quarter. And what we there's 4 days throughout the year that we have to give the teachers off in exchange for the additional time they put in for conferences.
Uh-huh.
And it's the end of the quarter, so we put one at the end of the quarter.
Gotcha.
And it's really, I don't know, can't remember what, I'm drawing a blank on what the official term is, but it is, basically it's a day to compensate for the additional hours teachers put in for conferences.
That's a teacher's day off.
That's not the day they work up the grades?
Well, they do that as well, yeah.
That's what they do on their day off?
District day.
Yeah.
District day. I don't know.
Well,
I don't have any kids in
the
school.
I don't have the calendar for me, but it depends if it's a district day or a total day off. I can't remember which one it is.
Speaking of those days like that, when it ends up working out to go back to the 45-15, do you not then do the planning days off every once in a while throughout the district, or are those added into those 45-15 calendars?
They're added in, and that's one of the things, probably the hardest thing with just having a few schools on a 45 mm-hmm. and everybody else on a different, is it's hard for us to get them to the district professional development.
Oh.
And, for example, the big day in August where we
sure.
have, they're in session. But what we've been trying to do is they do kind of like a late start or whatever, so at least the teachers can come to the welcome part, but they
sure.
don't get to participate in the full day. So that is a little bit of a conflict there.
Right, because when all the other teachers are doing the everybody get together in advance of school starting, the Longfellow teachers are teaching.
Yeah, they've been teaching for about a month already. So
yeah. Yeah, they're saying, welcome to the rest of the party here, everybody.
Go, what are you doing? We're already at work. That's interesting.
All right, and then, we're not that far away from graduation then, and then that'll be it. Another successful school year.
Yeah, another year under the belt. So,
and we're going to do the same that we did last time and have all three schools on one day. Is that what's happening again?
Yes.
Okay. That has worked out quite well, hasn't it?
Yeah. The only concern we have into the future is the Civic Center gets
construction.
Right.
We're going to have to work around that a little bit. But, it's gone, since I've been here, we've been using that location, and it's gone really well having them all in one day. And we've gotten some great feedback from the parents on that.
I've done both venues, and the improvement is immense.
The Mayo Civic Center.
Oh, the sight lines,
mm-hmm.
The sound, everything. You do a really nice show when you do it.
It'll probably happen before I can imagine that it's happened, but that just seems so far away right now, graduating a kid out of my family. Just too far away.
Trust me. I don't get it.
Oh, I know.
Time folds.
Oh, you know what happened the other night? I was going to mention to you, too, Superintendent Munoz, is that we couldn't find the iPad Monday night. It had been too long, and she had used it during the day, so we knew that it was in the house, but the iPad was missing, completely missing in action, could not find it, and everybody was looking for that stupid iPad.
Choice words were being spoken?
Yeah. I said, you just had it. Think of were you sitting here when you used it? I don't know. Were you sitting over there when you used it? I don't know. I thought, I'm going to bed. You go find your iPad. So, what happens if a kid can't find their iPad and gets to school? Is there a standby iPad for those kids?
Yes, they do have. Each site has a few just on standby for that reason, or sometimes if something goes wrong
with it,
they give them a substitute while the other one's getting fixed.
It's got the tracker on it, though, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell her that. I'm actually going to tell her that if you show up at school without your iPad, you are sent to detention for 3 days.
But the tracker will only pinpoint that it's actually in the house.
Right.
It won't tell you where in
yeah,
the house.
Yeah, it won't say exactly.
I need to get one of those clappers so that I can clap and then it will beep back at me so that we can find it. It was in her closet. What in the world? Kids. At least we found it.
Well, that's good. You found it, yeah.
Middle schooler. That's exactly right. It's 10:57 at KROC. Thanks so much for being here, Mike. We'll look forward to next month.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. 37 degrees at KROC AM.